This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mr. Joe Zampa, and get his opinion on the game today. A Vampire Millwall, great shout, man of the match to the 12th man, which was the supporters who definitely shown up today, unlike the players. Great shout, Vampire Millwall. Let's bring in Joe. Hello, Joe.
How are you doing? You're right. I've hid away the knife and forks, and you know, fear I might slip my wrists off watching that. I mean, that was dire, wasn't it? That wasn't the Millwall performance we've seen in the last five games. I'll even include the Leicester and the Borough matches. At least we tried, we had effort, and we played a bit of quality. But
yeah,
I don't know what that was about. I mean, listen to your live. Well done doing that. Your review live there first time. No mistakes as well. I know you don't edit your stuff anyway, but that was good. So cheers for doing that, chaps. But yeah, disappointing, isn't it? You know, and going back to the points you made, I think they're all valid points, all excellent points. I guess QPR sort of did to us what we've been doing to teams for the last four or five games, but without the quality. And by that, I meant the intensity was there. They played with aggression. They bullied us, you know, all over the pitch. You can see they focused quite heavily on McNamara and Wes Harding with Armstrong and, you know, even Lyndon Dyke sort of like throwing a couple of elbows in and things like that. They're being very, very physical with us. And we didn't have that. I guess that's the only thing that was missing in our side, was having a bit of a presence further up the pitch, you know, a Linda Dykes type of player, or like you say, a Sinclair Armstrong.
Or a Saville. Could the likes of Sav not have made a difference, right? I know, I don't know whether he was match fit to start, because obviously he's missed the last three games. In theory, he should still be match fit. But do you think he could have made a difference today, Joe?
I think so, because I think even in the centre of the park, I mean, we weren't just beaten in the air, you know, in their attacking areas. I think even in the middle of the park, you see it quite often, Billy Mitchell going up for headers. I mean, Honeyman's only 4'2", isn't he? So we didn't win anything really in the middle of the park. And no. I'm not saying that Saville's a giant, but I think he's about 6'2". You know, and he does get up quite well. He can win a couple of headers, and he can add a bit of presence in the centre midfield. And that was kind of like lacking or missing, I think, a little bit today as well. So, yeah, I just think we were bullied. And the one person we had on the pitch who probably could bully them in the air was Jake Cooper. And everything was kind of going down their left side purposely. And you watch the runs that Sinclair Armstrong was doing and the players that he was choosing to go up against. It was always Wes Harding or Danny McNamara. He was almost targeting them because he knew it's pointless going on Cooper. And even Lyndon Dykes didn't go towards Cooper. So Cooper was essentially left on his own today. So I think that was a well sort of thought out sort of tactic plan.
They definitely did their homework on us and knew how to nullify. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I know it's not easy to do, especially when you're pissed off about a defeat, but you have to give credit to the way they set up and the way they carried out them instructions. But for me, like, I remember, I've noted here, I think we got a corner on 79 and George Honeyman didn't beat the first man. I'm sorry, but things like that are just...
I remember that.
They're not good enough. Like, I don't care how well other teams set up against us. I don't care how, you know, tactically we might get undone. Basics, like beating the first man from a corner. And I'm not just digging at George Honeyman here. Everyone did it, right? But it just ain't good enough, is it?
No, absolutely. And I think that's it. The quality in the final third was terrible today. I mean, our stats showed, I think we had one or two shots, one on target, I think.
Yeah, the whole game.
Against their, look at my notes here.
So that was Mitchell's chance.
Yeah, they had 12 shots and five on target. So, I mean, possession-wise, it was 50-50. But then you would think that because we're obviously trying to get back in the games. So we're trying to sort of get on the ball. The trouble is we're trying to play direct football. And we've got nothing up front. Like, you're trying to hit long balls up to Nisbet. And I know where you're coming from, Nisbet. I mean...
But we don't normally do that, Joe, do we? We don't normally... No. We've been passing the ball a lot more and creating opportunities from starting at the back. But we did play a lot more direct today, which I don't know if that was deliberate or we were just panicking. No, exactly, mate. And I know you've got a point of view on this bit. So let's just have a little bit of a debate. What was your view on his performance today? And I guess the last few weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I know people sort of question, you know, what he's like as a target man. Can he hold the ball up? Blah blah blah. He isn't strong. He isn't physical like Bradshaw is. Bradshaw can sort of battle it out. And I know he's not particularly big, but he'll give as good as he gets. Nisbet, I just think he's got a very good touch and technically he's a very, very good player. If the ball plays up to him, he can flick it on, he can control it, turn it. But as soon as a defender's on him, and you saw it today, as soon as that pressure's on him, he can't hold the ball up. He can't really play very well with his back to the goal. And I saw that quite vividly today. But then to his defence, he was isolated. So many times I saw Nisbet today with three defenders around him and not one Mill player. Again, Fleming's playing too deep. I know he's got this thing in his head where he wants to be the kind of the general and play deep and get on the ball and make things happen.
But he did nothing today, did he, Fleming? Yeah. I know, like, we're digging out Nisbet and whatever, but Fleming was back to the Fleming of a month ago that just wasn't impacting the game whatsoever.
Absolutely. But where I want to see him is in their box, further up the pitch in their goal area. And when Joe Edwards made that substitution and put Longman up front on his own, that was a bit weird. He then plays Danny McNamara as a right wing back, which I don't think Danny done too badly and on the right side of that defence, you know, with respect. Why didn't he put Longman on the right wing back? I mean, he destroyed Borough the other day on that side.
He did?
Yeah. Put Tanganga where Danny Mack was and then stick Fleming up top and maybe bring on, you know, another midfielder. You could brought Savile on. Or an essay or someone, you know, and just move Fleming as a centre forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fleming, you know, he's better in the air. He's a bit stronger. He's physical, you know, and get him in the game because he wasn't getting in the game at all. So it's a real weird one. And go back to your point there, Chris, sorry to interrupt you there, but we went direct after about 20, 30 minutes. When we struggled, so the first 20 minutes, we thought we were great. They were shit, QPR. We then go direct out of desperation. And when we bring Longman up front, we go even more direct. You know, and the poor guy's running around like a headless chicken. He's got no chance getting the ball, you know?
Yeah. No, mate, I agree. I think that the players have to take blame for their performance. But I also feel that Edwards made some questionable substitutions, as you're alluding
to. Very strange.
I don't. And the thing is, there could be, look, we all can sit there and be like, what's going on here and all stuff like that. But there might be reasons. You know, we don't know that if players have got carrying a knock or they're injured or we don't know. But to bring on Tanganga, basically as a straight personnel swap and not push anyone else further forwards, I don't get it. Like, obviously, we're all buzzing that we've got Tanganga, right? There's no, you know, but it just didn't impact the game. It was weird. I almost felt that the game was probably crying out after 60 minutes for Savile, because you know he's going to come on and he's going to
go around
and we need snap a leader on the pitch and whatever.
Exactly. We need a leader on the pitch. I mean, they were nasty. Yeah, they were quite aggressive. You know, they were leaving a bit in every single time. And we were getting a bat a little bit. I think Savile on that pitch would have given us that little bit of extra presence in there, you know, hopefully sort of galvanise us a little bit. I mean, the Tanganga point, very, very good. I mean, he came on. I mean, I'd much rather see Tanganga play as right wing back and keep Danny Mack where he was. But again, is that Joe Edwards being clever? Maybe he knows he can't be bombing up and down that wing if he hasn't played many games, he's not match fit. Last thing you want to do is then pull a muscle. Whereas being quite sensible and just playing him that kind of role at the back there and just taking it easy was probably the minutes he needed, but equally we're not kind of rolling the dice too hard either, I guess, you know?
Do you think a lot of that's down to leadership? So I'm going to start putting some comments up from the chat. And so Glenn makes an interesting one here. It's similar to what you're alluding to there, Joe. But, like, you know, we miss leaders on the pitch, you know, without Hutch and Leonard. Love Cooper. As I said, he's going to play 400-500 games for us and he'll go down as one of our most, you know, capped ever players. But he's not a leader today. Sorry, he's not a leader. And I did feel without... I'm going to add Saville to Glenn's names there.
Mm.
With the way that QPR were as well, I felt that we definitely lacked some of that, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not blessed with leaders. I mean, we're kind of like scraping a barrel a little bit when you mention those names. Because vocally, they're not really, are they? You know? But maybe that's something that Joe's looking at. I don't think we're going to bring a lone player in that's going to give us that leadership.
No, then no.
It'll be someone we're probably looking to sign in the summer that might give us that bit of leadership, but we desperately, desperately need it. Especially, you know, we look at Hutchison at the moment. I mean, is he going to be here next season? We don't know. Would he be kept on for a year? We don't know. So if you take him out of the equation, we're not really left with much, are we, in regards to, you know, players with leadership that can really sort of like take the team and kind of lift them when we need them to, you know?
Agreed, mate. Agreed.
Yeah, there's a lot of comments coming through then, is there?
Yeah, so this is another one that I wanted to just touch on because I think... look, I think it's easy to react emotionally to games like that today and also to performances like today, right? Because it's not just we lost. They're probably our sort of one of our biggest rivals in the league as well, really. You know, that the fans have turned out in great numbers and credit to everyone that went. You could hear you loud and clear. But, you know, I've always said don't get too high when we win and don't get too low when we lose. But, Joe, what's your perspective on... You know, are we going to be pulled into a dogfight if we continue like that? Because QPR now beaten us. They've got Huddersfield next game. Rotherham won to... did they win or did they draw in the end?
They drew 1-1, I think, didn't they?
They did. Because they... on it just before, I'm going to go off on a complete tangent here. Rotherham Borough completely... If Borough had beaten Rotherham today, I'd have won £500 on an acca.
Oh, no. Really? That close?
Rotherham done me today, but that's for another day. But anyway, going back to the point... Do you think that we're going to be pulled into a dogfight?
A dogfight. I mean, before today, we were, 11 points clear of QPR, who are a third off bottom. Today, we're now 8 points clear. We dropped to 18th place. But luckily, with those 3 wins we had over Christmas, those 9 points has kind of helped us out massively. And we knew it then how important that would be to us. So at the moment, we've still got that cushion, which is great. We've got players out injured. We've got players that are back but not quite fit yet. So, you know, let's trust the process still. I'd rather be in our position than be in QPR's position, put it that way. Hopefully with one or two more signings in this window, with players coming back and players come back to fitness, I think we'll be fine. I mean, today, you can almost kind of like, you know, kick this one to the side a little bit and kind of like move on. I mean, it's disappointing. I feel sorry for the 2,600 odd fans that travel to go and watch that today. It's not what they wanted to see. Who, again, you know, I watched it on the TV, a bit like yourself, because obviously we couldn't get to it, unfortunately. But they were vocal, they were noisy, they were loud, you know, they created an atmosphere. So, you know, you can't blame the fans not being there supporting them. You know, that should have given them a lift, but it didn't quite do it for them. So, but no, I mean, going back to Wally's message there, I don't think we're in a dogfight at the moment. I mean, ask the same question in 6 weeks or so, but at the minute, I think we're okay, and I'd rather be in our position than QPR's.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's... I remember after 2 or 3 defeats on the bounce, I come on here and I said, look, if you think we're not in a relegation battle, you're wrong. And then obviously we played really, really well and the results were good. And then obviously more recently against Leicester and Middlesbrough, we've been playing really well, but not getting the results. But today was the double whammy of not getting anything and also not playing well. Do I think that drags us back into it? No. But do I think a lot more performances like today? I think we will, you know.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. I mean, one pleasing thing to see is, although we were great for the first 15, 20 minutes, weren't we? We battled still. You know, we didn't play great, But you can see the players were trying. You can see they're running their socks off a little bit, working hard. That's pleasing to see. When you've seen players not working hard, not trying to put tackles in, not make effort, then that's when you work. And that was kind of happening towards the end of Gary Rowett's reign. There's almost like a little bit of lack of interest, weren't it, from a lot of the players. Yeah. Not all of them, but some of them. But at the moment, I think you just got to put it down. It's a bit of a bad day at the office. QPR were fighting for their lives. Yeah, they use this as a London derby. They desperately need the 3 points. I mean, Jesus, I was listening to the iFollow commentary. I don't know about you, chaps, but when they scored that first goal, there was their commentator, and Andy Sinton, who was commentating.
Oh, yeah.
But me, they cheered so loud when they first scored. When they scored that second one, they were screaming. Like, that's how much it meant to them, you know. So it just shows
their rattle out as well, because I heard I had the Millwall commentary on. All I could hear in the background was a rattle.
But you can see you can see what it meant to them. And that game must have been building up for a very, very long time. And they desperately want to beat us. And the players, to be fair, to give credit to
them. You want to beat them, Joe. That's not good. Should have known they were going to be up for it today. It's a London derby. Their opportunity to claim some points. They've been playing all right recently.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know, they've not been... But that's not good enough. We should be out fault.
Exactly. You can almost hear Joe Edwards' comments after the game. And what he's going to talk about is the basics again. You know, he touched on that right at the very beginning, didn't he? About you could do all the nice things, but what you can't do is not do the basics. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to run your socks off. You've got to work hard. You've got to do all these things. And these are things we didn't do very, very well. And like I said, QPR did it very, very well. Physically, I think they just dominated us a little bit. We both started playing direct football, but they're the players that can play direct football. We don't, and it's a shame. But like I said, we move on. What's the comments like, chap?
I was going to just ask you this question, mate, as well. I was going to ask you this question. So there's a few comments, including our own Stephen. So hello, Stephen. I think he was at the game today, wasn't he? So I don't know if he joined. But this is the most recent one. So I'll put this up from Darren. He says, what the fuck is going on with SA? Seriously, play the lad for a few games, bipolar at wall yet again. So let's keep on the first part of that point, which is SA. To me, there is clearly something, right? Because Edwards is not, for me, Edwards is the best judge, having played, managed and coached youth players all the time. He obviously doesn't fancy him. When Barrett was in charge for a little bit, he didn't fancy him. Rowett didn't fancy him. So I'll ask you this question in two parts, Joe. What do you think it is that means these managers don't fancy playing him? And if he's not going to play, should we let him go out on loan? And maybe that's the case. Maybe we're going to, but we just need a few more bodies in ourselves. Maybe that's the thing that's going on. Where do you stand on the whole SA front? Because I know you're a big fan of his.
Well, as I was saying, chaps, you know me well enough. You know I'm a huge fan of Roman SA. I really rate the lads. And I've been crying out, as loads of Mill fans have done for the last, how long now, trying to sort of, fight his corner, getting minutes, getting game time. But to be fair, the subs that he's come on for in recent games, he hasn't impressed. And now you could argue, okay, he's only been on for 10 minutes or whatever, 15 minutes. But if you're on there for 5 minutes, you've got to work your fucking socks off. You've got to show you want it. You've got to be determined. And he looks a little bit lazy out there, I don't know whether it's nerves. I don't know if it's lack of confidence, because he's clearly a good player. He represents England under 18s or under 19s, isn't he? So he's a very, very, very good player. But I think there's areas of his game that needs to be improved on. His positioning is quite bad at times, off the ball I'm talking about. On the ball, no one quite knows where his natural position is. Sometimes he floats to the right, I quite like him in the 10. But then to do that, you've got to take Fleming out of the team. And sometimes I think, so you know what, when you're nervous, I'm sure this is for all players, when you've got that nerves, that gives you that kind of focus and that sharpness and that edge. When you come on that pitch, you're going to be up for it. You're there, you know. Is he just a bit complacent because he's kind of confident now? He's hearing all the hype and all the sponsorship he's getting at the moment. He's thinking, you know what, I'm a good player, blah, 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 blah. And when he gets on the pitch, he's almost kind of like cruising, when really he should be, you know, determined and making a difference and being tenacious. So he's not quite doing that at the moment. I mean, I'd love to speak to him, just say to him, you know, almost shake him and say to him, you know, Roman, you know, when you get out there, fucking just give it your all. For those 10 minutes, just give it your all, you know. But he's not quite taking that. And I reckon that's probably what the players or sort of the coaches are seeing, and they don't really feel he's probably quite ready at the moment. But going back to your point, chaps, yeah, I'll be happy for him to go out alone. I never thought I would say that, but at this moment in time, I will be, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, today was the game where, out of all of the games he could have come on since Edwards has been here, I would have expected him to come on, purely because there was no one else. You know, the only other attacking change we had, obviously, was Ryan Longman. Edwards put him up top. So if he doesn't come on in a game like today where we're losing, point one, no one is playing well, point two, and he's our only attacking option really on the bench, point three, and he still doesn't come on, to me, that says a lot. And I know a lot of fans were like, oh, he's so good that must mean he's off. I don't think it does. I just think that he needs to go to a League One side. Maybe he needs humbling. I don't know. He doesn't come across that sort of lad. You know, you and I both sort of had chats with him, and he just doesn't
come across lovely that guy. Sort of lad.
Maybe it's just... It could be confidence, who knows? But I think we can both agree that he needs game time. Mm. And if he's not going to be with us, then we should find a loan for him, which we may well have done. We just need to probably bring in more bodies ourselves. Joe, the last question I'll ask you, probably because we want to wrap up about 6. I'm taking the missus out for dinner, although now can't really be bothered. But
we've got to fly through these questions then quickly.
She's certainly not going to be listening to this. So I guess the last question I've got, and I would love to hear your thoughts for those of you that are in the chat. You know, we've got where are we now? 10, 11 days left of the window. If you could sign two more players, I'm not going to say, you have to give me names, but what positions do you think we need and why? And I'll ask Joe if you
want me.
I'm asking the people in the chat as well.
Yeah, I would love to hear the guys in the chat and see what their thoughts are. But if I can answer while we're waiting, is quite clearly we need attacking players, don't we? Really, defensively, you know, with Tanganga coming in, it's going to help strengthen us a little bit at the back. Hopefully, with a couple more games, we can start him. I think he'd be really, really good for us. Hopefully one or two other players will be coming back soon. Murray looked okay when he came on. He didn't look like he was hampered by injury or anything. But in the attacking areas, we're struggling. I think what we need is we probably need two positions looking at the moment. We probably need someone on the left-hand side, like a fast winger, someone to kind of complement Brooke Norton Cuffey, but on the left-hand side. And I reckon we need one more player. We need a forward that's different to what we've got at the moment. And by that, what I mean to say is we've got Bradshaw and Nisbet, who, although they've got their own qualities and strengths, they're kind of like, you know, similar sort of players. What we really, really need is somebody like Sinclair Armstrong, a bit of a large target man that's strong, fast, that can hold the ball up, you know, run the channels, whatever, with a bit more quality, you know, and I mean that in the utmost respect to him. But some of that sort of, you know, ilk, somebody, he was something a bit different. You know, if we want to play two up top, we can play two up top. We want to play him as a lone striker, we could play him as a lone striker, but we also need more pace in the team as well.
Yeah,
you know, we've often played Longman out on the left hand side, and he's good. He kind of cuts in on his right foot quite often. I think he has to do that because he hasn't got the pace to go past the fullback. So we really need somebody who can replicate what Brooke Norton Covey's doing on the right hand side, but on the left, and give us that balance. It's where I'm looking at. Be interested to see what your thoughts are, though, chaps, on that.
Yeah, and before I share mine, I'm just going to share some of the comments. So Glenn says, Nisbet was terrible today, looked completely out of his depth. A seasoned striker will find space and be a target for our midfield. John said, by the way, Joe doesn't, but I agree with you, Glim.
I just think he was isolated a little bit. He's a good player, but he needs either players around him. He can't play that lone striker role. I think he really does struggle, especially against bigger...
He does struggle as a lone striker, agree. Yeah. John says, goalkeeper. I mean, Sarkic has made his definite fair share of clangers, isn't he? Centre forward and a 10. London Lions says, anyone who says Cresswell, I'm going to vomit. Vampire Millwall says, get Langstaff from Notts County. I don't disagree with you, mate, but I think, unfortunately, there's about four or five other clubs ahead of us with more money. Metin says, we need strikers.
Yeah.
Vampire Millwall is probably still at Christmas because he says, sell Nisbet for a mince pie. CO says, a true full forward and a winger. Hopefully, Tangang can pair up with somebody and allow us to play back four. I've had enough of Joe Bryan's defence as well.
Oh, don't get started on Joe Bryan. I know you touched on that earlier. And I don't want to kind of throw the fuel on that one. But
Glyn clearly has the same.
What the fuck is Joe Bryan doing defensively? That, you made a very good point there. When that cross come in, okay, the player sort of turned him and crossed it with his left foot, which will be on Joe Bryan's side. But you've got to make the tackle. You've got to try and stop that cross from coming in. How often has it cost us defensively,
Agreed. So, in terms of the players I would go for me, I agree with you that another option down at left-hand side could be a good one, but I would prioritise another position over that personally. So I think we need a proper mobile target man centre-forward.
Mm.
We were trying to get Kiefer Moore in the summer. That didn't happen. I can assure you it's not going to happen now. The likes of Sunderland, Ipswich, Middlesbrough all looking at him. That's not going to happen. But that kind of striker.
What about Lyndon Dykes, chaps? What about Lyndon? I mean, is there any kind of mileage in that? Again, I've looked at him before in the past couple of times. I mean, he looked good today.
He signed a new deal, didn't he? And I think he would still cost well over £1 million. So I don't think so. But we need some kind of. There might be a young, Tottenham or Chelsea or Arsenal player that Joe Edwards knows who will come in and do that role. That's willing to run the channels. Try to bully defenders, that kind of striker. So I think we need one of them. And then obviously, we don't know, the club haven't announced how long Imaku's out for. And then that only really leaves you, if we're going to play a three up front, that leaves you just Fleming and Watmore to play on that kind of forwards, number 10s. And to me, that's not enough. And they're not adding numbers and they've not been good enough. So I think for me, the other position I would prioritise would be like a, I guess we call them a forward nowadays, but someone sort of play in that front three that is proven to add numbers, whether that's goals, assists or whatever, because those two aren't doing it. And I'm not happy having just those two available, particularly when we don't know Imaku's out. So they're the two I would go for. Based on completely no knowledge whatsoever, I reckon we will probably bring someone in next week. As Husey says here, Rich Cowley did tweet today to say that a young prospect is very likely to sign. Agree, that's not ideally what we need now. So I would expect that to come in addition to the players.
At the moment, I'll take anyone. Well, I don't say good, of course.
Well, but we need bodies back as well. Let's not underestimate that. You know, you've had... We've already mentioned this, but Bradshaw, Imaku, Denor, Saville's been out injured. Leonard's injured. Sorry, Saville's been out with obviously his red card.
Imaku and how desperate, who would have thought we miss Imaku this much? Just when we had him up front, that pace that he was giving us, which we desperately need at the moment.
Gives us something no one else has got, right, Joe? Imaku in the side at the moment, which is just that. Pure, I guess he's not the same player as Sinclair Armstrong, but just like that, I'd say he's not as strong as Sinclair Armstrong, but he's quicker. So he's direct, he'll drive at you with the ball.
He's both.
He'll make you think and go backwards. Mm. There isn't anyone else in the side at the moment that has that kind of athleticism outside of Brook Norton Cuffey, who I absolutely love, and I think the club should do everything they can to keep him, but he was poor today. There's no denying he had zero impact.
I wonder whether he was carrying something or not, because he pulled him off and he rather played Danny Mack there rather than him, which is a bit weird. Why would you do it? Especially when you're chasing a game. So who knows whether that knee flared up. We don't know, do we?
We don't know. We don't know whether Brian was carrying something and therefore Murray Wallace wasn't fully fit, so we couldn't start him.
That's right.
But yeah, so Look, I'm going to end on a positive. I'm going to call it there, Joe. But I'm going to end on a positive because I agree with a lot of what Glyn said there. So Glyn said that Billy fought hard. His passing was good. Hits through ball to Watmore was totally class. Shamrock attackers managed to defuse every attack. I think Glyn's got a lot spot on there. And I think, look, it's hard to take positives, but I do think Billy Mitchell had one of his better games today. Mm. And, you know, I think he's probably the only positive that we can take from today. So, but Joe, before we round up, I mean, this wasn't planned whatsoever. I sort of suggested to Mickey this morning that I do this live because I was at home and obviously I couldn't go to the game. I didn't expect us to play as badly and lose 2-0. And then Joe, obviously you said that you were around to come on. And I think this has been good. And it's obviously been...
I enjoyed it.
Anything to say, mate?
Well, it's a shame it wasn't a positive result and or a positive performance, you know. It'd make this a lot easier and sweeter. But no, I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate the listeners on here as well and getting your comments and your thoughts. And let's move forward to is it Preston next Saturday, next game at home?
The key there is we need to move forward, right? We need to draw a line under this. Well, it's hard because it's so raw, but
no.
Bad day at the office, move on.
Exactly. And, trust the process.
Yeah. And I will certainly be having a few beers tonight to try. You can't beat a pint of Cobra in an Indian restaurant.
Oh, so yeah. All day. Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone that's commented in the chat. Really appreciate it. Thanks to everyone that's watched this. Hopefully, you enjoyed it. Maybe can do these more often. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah, really, as always, really appreciate you joining and thank you so much for listening. And look, try and enjoy the rest of your weekend, whatever you do. And I'm sure we'll speak to you soon. So thanks very much. Thanks, Joe.
Cheers, chaps.
And bye for now. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.